Welcome to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
We're going to talk about trials. And I don't care what your trial you're going through. And I listed a few of them here. We'll just talk about them. You know, trials in relationships. You know, how many have had a trial in your relationship with your spouse, your kids? Those trials will destroy you if you can't find your anchor in God. What about financial? I mean, you know, there was a point in time I told Susie there had to be money in the bank. I still have checks. I ran out a month before I had money. You know, it's just like, are you kidding me? You know, I was so broke I couldn't pay attention. And about the time I'm the worst financial I've ever been, some prophet will call me out. Oh, I see God's favor on you. You're going to have all this money. You're going to have this. And I can't pay attention. So where is that coming from? That's the prophetic going, hey, I have a plan for you. Or are you going to let the trial you're in stop the promises that God's giving you? Or are you going to let the trial that you're in become a stepping stone to know God at a dimension that he can bring it into existence? I tried to play carpenter and ditch digger the last couple of days. Holy moly, I like selling light bulbs. And you know, I'm like, you know, I'm relatively healthy, a little overweight. Be quiet, Susie. And but I mean, I got bones and stuff that are starting to hurt that didn't hurt. I mean, I got, it's ridiculous. And am I gonna let that stop me? What if you're diagnosed with a sickness and disease, but you believe that God is a healer and you haven't seen it yet? I'm gonna care what you. That's a trial. That's a trial. What about your job? Ron, don't worry about it. You could have a boss like me and everything be great. What about depression? Anybody battle depression? Discouragement? Listen, that's a trial. I'm gonna tell you, when depression gets over me, it's because it's about me. Spiritual crisis. I have had more spiritual crises in the last 2 years, and supposed to be the mature leader here. And my spiritual crisis is I don't believe what I used to believe. I believe I had put my faith in religion in certain areas instead of relationship where there's a grace. You know, we were sharing some, me and Susie were sharing with someone this morning, and you know, I had these encounters with God and I was on fire for God, but then I became religious, and she made the statement, it almost scared me again. She goes, I almost divorced him because he became more religious than he was a heathen. So what am I saying? Your spiritual crisis is that you think you already know. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Listen, we didn't talk about her praying for you. And if you know Susie, she yes. I couldn't bribe her to do that. But when she feels the anointing in her hands, she has to get rid of it. Yes. Okay? And what am I saying? I'm saying that she heard God, because I'm telling you, if she hadn't had the activation of the gift of faith in the stuff that we went through and believed God, not me. You know, years ago, I told God, I said, you know that woman? I had my list. And the Lord reminded me, he says, you know, the only reason she came back to you is I told her to, because she believed me. She never did believe you. And that's a gift of faith, man. So I'm thinking I'm all that in a bag of chips. God's like, no, no, no. She trusted me. She didn't even like you. You know, but listen, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What is patience? Patience is realizing I'm okay. I'm okay. In the midst of this trial, I'm okay. But let patience have her perfect work. Do you know that's a female? We'll go nowhere. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Listen, if you're not okay, if you're not okay in your trial, you'll never be okay in your successes. If you can't manage the stress of your trial, you'll never manage the stress of your success. That's a good word, and I didn't even have that down. The book of Job reminds us that trouble and trials are inevitable. Job 5:7, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We need to understand how to face the trials that will come. A fake diamond loses its lust, its brilliance when submerged in water. A real diamond does not. We must not lose our brilliance when we're submerged in trials. It's all outlook. It's perspective. When a trial comes into your life and you crumble and crash, I'm going to tell you, you have a false identity. You have a false identity. There are five keys to victory in our trials. The attitude of joy, the understanding mind, a submissive will. That's a great one. I tried that with Susie one day. Woman, submit to me. She says, I don't do the S word. So she crossed out the word submit and she went yield in love. I can do that. But if you're a horse's patoot, she ain't doing it. A believing heart and a humble spirit. Why the humble spirit? Why? Because God won't talk to pride. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count, consider, to evaluate. Listen, so do you go negative or positive when something comes at you? I usually go negative first. I regain much quicker than I used to. Okay, but here's the thing is I've come to a place of maturity that if God allows a trial to come or a devil to be behind the trial, I realize I'm going to overcome, I'm going to win, and I'm going to have some credentials when this thing's over with. You know, Todd Bentley started laying hands on people that were deaf, and instantly he saw like death was deaf ears like that. Why? Because his mother was deaf, and he overcame that, and he got on top of that, and it's one of his gifts. Deaf people can't hang around him because they get healed. So God might be answering your prayers. What does that mean? If you're like me, God, if you've called me to be a prophet, I want to be like Samuel. Do not let one of my words fall to the ground unfulfilled. I prayed that. Innocently. Ignorantly. I prayed that for about a month. And then Susie used to drive a Mark 7. And this air suspension went bad in it, so I had to put it in the shop, and so I rented a convertible Camaro with a V8 engine in it. I go whipping into the driveway, picked up my two sons, let's go for a ride. Dude, I tore up the backside of Deltona. That thing with smoke tires, first, second, third, I mean, just, watch this. The whole time I'm hearing the Lord speak to me. You better stop it. And I'm like, I'm tired of being this fuddy-duddy. I used to drive like this. I used to love to drive. And my kids have never, I'm just all over the place, man. Just, it was a rental car. Meanwhile, God's talking to me. And I'm ignoring him because I want to be cool to my kids. Right? Now, I've been praying this prayer. Don't let one of my words fall to the ground unfulfilled. Get into the house, kids go in, the older kid goes, the younger kid gets in the car, mama gets in the car, we're going to New Smyrna to get supper. I'm driving down 44, and boom, this county flips around, throws the lights on, pulls me over. Dear God, give me mercy. I start praying for mercy. Dear God, give me mercy. God, I don't need a ticket. And he's like, man, there's a call in this description of this car just tearing up the backside of the door. That wouldn't have been you. Nope. Not me. This is a rental car. I noticed. When did you rent it? I'm lying my teeth out to try to get out to get God's mercy. My little boy is sitting here looking at me, knowing I'm lying. Knowing I'm lying. So I go into, dang it, I got a ticket mode. And I figured for 3 days, I ain't talking to God. I'm mad. 3 days. He didn't say a word to me. I'm glad he didn't either. So I'm laying in bed, and all of a sudden I feel this withdrawal from the Holy Spirit, because when you walk with God and you feel like he hadn't talked, you know, if your wife ignores you for 3 days, you know you're in trouble. Well, if God ignores you for 3 days, you're really in trouble. And so I'm laying there, so I wake up. Oh, Lord, I need you. And all of a sudden he goes, you've been whining and complaining and begging for my power to not let one of your words fall to the ground, and I can't even trust you with a V8. What would you do if I gave you power with your emotional condition and your attitude and your inability to do it right? You would curse people and they would die, and you want my power. I'm like, you know, really and truly, can God trust you with power? He can't trust me with a V8. Now they got Hemis. Dude, I rented a Hemi last time I was in New York. Never rent a Hemi when there's ice on the ground. Just, that's free. To consider, I don't know why I went off on that, but listen, count it all joy. Joy is not the natural human response to troubles. Listen, it is not natural to go, oh, thank you, Jesus. Everybody hates me. I said to the Lord one day, God, how can you find joy in this? Every leader in this region of the country where I was at is all mad at me. He says, you can find joy in it. How? And he goes, at least they're unified. They're all against you. You must take a conscious commitment to face each trial with an attitude of joy. Why? Because strength, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You're never going to overcome that trial, that broken relationship, that financial hardship without joy. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am there with to be content, no matter what hell is coming at you, be content. When the word conveys the idea of an unplanned occurrence that surrounds you. Anybody just wake up and like, oh my God, I just got hit by a truck. The good Samaritan found that he fell among thieves. Acts 27:41, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part struck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Anybody ever woke up and realized this scripture and your hind end's been tore out of you? I mean, hey, if this happens to a ship, I mean, it's happened to me. I've had stuff come in. You're just like, man, I just got my butt ripped out. And I'm supposed to be happy about that? And I'm like, I'm reading that scripture. I'm like, Lord, how can you be happy about that? He says, if you find joy, you can turn it into a theme park. And I went into a vision and saw this ship with a back end tore up, and they had made slides into the water. You're really funny, God. See, when I see this, you know, the hinder part of the ship getting. See, I want to go to 2 Samuel when I get into trials. 2 Samuel chapter 5, when they stole the glory, because I think I'm full of glory. When you mess with me, I want to use 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 9. And it's because they stole the glory of God, it says they had Nimrods on their hinder parts. I'll pray that over you. Well, that's not joyful, you know. See, there are hemorrhoids in the Bible. Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercising thereby. Listen, it is not good to be disciplined, but do you understand the discipline of the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Father, is the only proof of your sonship. Otherwise, you're a bastard. So if you're one of them happy doopy Christians that everything's good and I'm around you for 2 years and you haven't had a trial, I'm going to wonder if you're saved. Or you're not growing. Or you become religious, you become critical, and would judge me instead of yourself. Okie dokie. You know why you don't give grace? Well, you don't give grace because you don't think you need it. A person that never gives grace has never been in a trial that he needed grace. And you can't give away what you have not received, which means that you haven't started a journey with God where you need his grace. I can remember having fights with my mother-in-law. You good, I'm bad. John 16:22-30, very, very, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man-child is born into the world. Listen, sometimes it's painful to birth a new promise of God.
Yes, it is.
And the problem is we won't birth something new because we've been attached to something old. And we now therefore have sorrow, but I will say to you again that your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. When it's joy, it's from the Holy Ghost. Happiness, somebody can steal. The Lord said to me one day when God was trying to rebuild me and Susie's relationship, and you know, she had threatened me to leave me again, and it would crush me. And finally, the Lord said to me, you've given her more faith than you've given me. He says, when she has the ability to become your joy for the day, she took my spot. I'm like, I'm taking that back. I mean, I understand mama ain't happy, the house ain't happy. It was a bad house to begin with. But the bottom line is, when my wife became my source of joy, then she controlled my ability. Because if I had it, gave her the ability for her to give me a good day, I also gave her the ability to let me have a bad day. That ain't her authority. And I had to take that back. I thought that was Susie starting to say something back there. I didn't want to have to publicly manifest fear. Seeing beyond the trial to the end, Acts 16, Paul and Silas were in prison. This is the attitude we need to strive for. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, at least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Listen, how many want more revelation? Listen, your revelation will come to a level that it will actually cost you some trials, because a revelation without testing has no authority. But when I've got a revelation, I've gone to a trial with that revelation and it's been tested, you can't take it. Listen, this thing on innocence that we've been on, it's been tested. I've been ridiculed. I've been challenged. And I'm telling you, I'm more convinced it's God than ever. I talked to my buddy Bill Vanderbush. He wrote that book, Reckless Grace. And I said, you know, let's just go ahead and test this friendship right off the bat. I got something I need to talk to you about, because I believe that I have the antidote to your sloppy grace. Because when you come to innocence, you come to childhood. When you come to childlikeness, then you become the Father's child, and he can bring you to maturity. And you won't use grace as an ability to be sloppy about things. And for this thing, I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, listen to this, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wow, everybody wants to be strong in the Lord, but you don't want to be weak in your own self. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Take pleasure in infirmities? Listen, I got bad knees. I ain't got no pleasure in them. I'm looking for some new ones, and I look at her hobbling around. I'm like, I don't know if I really want to do that. No. We don't want to do that. Okay, maybe y'all lose weight. You know, I made a statement one time to Susie. I said, man, you know, if I can't have surgery, I just may have to lose weight. She's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard you say. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you understand you're a dual dimensional person? You're seated in heavenly places. So when I am weak in my flesh, I'm weak in my abilities, and I recognize my weakness, I become strong in the realm of the Spirit. Listen, so some of you heard prophecies this morning that brought up your history, your childhood, and I'm telling you, that's the realm of your strength. The language of God is promise. The language of God is promise, my friend. And he promised you things, and he can deliver it. But the problem, if you're going to do it your way and your strength, then you'll have to sustain it. The real need oftentimes is not the elimination of the trial, but the grace to endure it. Come on, think about that. Think about that. I can remember that when my oldest son was on drugs and the enemy was lying to me and telling me he was going to die and all that. And I awoke in my spirit that that was a lie and I had believed a demon. I went out and found about 6 or 7 18-year-olds to father because I couldn't father my own kid. Broken relationship. And you reap what you sow. And so when he came around, he had a respect and an honor for me that only God could give in him. But you know what? There had to be a grace to go through that. There had to be a grace that only God could give me. But he did not eliminate that trial. He had to work something in Jason that only God could work in Jason. And when I went to Promise Keepers in Tampa, and we hadn't seen him in months, and we didn't know if he was alive or dead. Went there, and they were singing a song for me and my house will serve the Lord, and I was mad. I was like, Lord, I can't sing this song. You promised my son would be in business and ministry with me. You promised that he'd be set free. And I said, did I do something wrong to eliminate your ability to give my promise? He said, no, you've been faithful. He said, go home, prepare the fatted calf. Tell Susie he will not die. What does that mean? he won't die. I went home and said, I heard God. What does that mean? I'm like, he won't die. But does it mean that we weren't going to be tempted to think he was going to die? The word of the Lord came, you've been faithful. Go home, prepare the fat again. Tell Susie he will not die. 10 days later at 4 o'clock in the morning, his friend brings him. He was on a drug overdose, and he was, I don't know, somewhere in Daytona, from North Florida. And his friend brings it to him. He says, Mr. Coker, the last thing Jason said to get me to my daddy, he'll know what to do. Right. Laid him on the couch. Take him to the hospital. Do this. No, why? God said he wouldn't die. God said he wouldn't die. Yes. He told his mom later, I knew I was going to, I hit that wall of life and death. I knew he hit that wall. But the promise of God says he would not die. Yes. I don't care what trial you're in, get a promise and hold on to it.
Yes. Yes.
Get a promise and hold on to it. Because if you don't have a promise, you don't have an anchor. And if you don't have the promise from God himself, then you have an anchor that's already making your ship go afloat. But I'm telling you, when you overcome some trials, then God will trust you with the authority for others. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the suffering for this present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. It's about glory, guys. We can joyfully endure suffering in the present because of the glorious future promised us. Do your trials make us bitter or better? I don't know. I was born and raised in church, and we'd have testimony night. And there's this old hair bun Pentecostal. She'd get up and she would start, "Well, the Lord," and I'm like, "Oh my God, who wants to serve a Jesus like that?" It's supposed to be testimony, and it's her list of stuff, and it's the same list we heard the month before and the month because we had, I don't know, first Sunday night testimony. It's just preachers that wouldn't preach. But this one lady, it was always depressing. I'm like, oh my God, she needs to get saved. But her trial became her identity. Woe is me. And she never ever came over. And I'm telling you, this lady became bitter, not better. Number two, understanding mind. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You got to know a few things. Knowing the reason for testing, trials are designed to produce patience. Patience, all right, I'll never forget pushing God for a big sword, a new dagger, greater prophetic, give me what I need, and the Lord speaks to me finally one day. He said, I'm about to give you the greatest weapon of warfare that you need for your ministry. I said, what is that? Is it a bigger sword? Is it reading people's mail? Just da-da-da-da. No, it's the gift of patience. Patience, who wants patience? Patience is not, he says, no, it'll be your greatest gift. Because if you're patient, you will outweigh people, and what they're carrying demonic will manifest. Come on. See, when you're a serious control freak with no patience, I'll go after it before you actually can manifest it, and therefore you don't get healed, you leave. Some of you will have to just poop in the punch bowl, and we'll have to figure it out later. Seriously, because if you know what I meant, right? That wasn't sherbet you scooped in there. Anyway, But if we're family, if you're patient and we're family, we can figure out what the real root issue here is, okay? But if it's always, I'm going to be ahead of the game and I'm always going to cut you off to the past so you don't make a public display of stupidness or whatever, then you're going to carry that to your next relationship or your next church. But do we have enough patience to let it manifest and me look at you and go, how's that working out for you? You know, I love one of the preachers, the guy from Louisiana. Who am I talking about? The crazy guy. Jesse. I love Jesse. He tells a story about this guy comes in and he has this, I need you, brother, I really need you to hold me accountable, to this pornography thing. And this, da-da-da-da. And he goes, oh, I can handle that for you. He calls his wife over. Hey, he's doing porn. Dang. Endurance, patiently waiting on God to remove the trial at his time. God builds us up the same way a runner gradually develops the ability to run long distances. The runner starts small and works it up to a maximum capacity. God allows increasingly great trials in our lives to increase our endurance. So have your trials been increasing? Well, then you're on target. Listen, I mean, when I was involved in a $160 million Ponzi scheme. Yeah, that was a crash when the FBI came and took everything. That was, oh crap, I'm going to be like Paul, write books in prison. Okay? And in that trial, that Great Depression came on me. And everything was challenged. And finally I said to the Lord, why did you allow this? He goes, I'm glad you finally asked. I mean, I've been wrestling that for months. Oh, I allowed that. I mean, because listen, I prayed. God, is this you? Is this the wealth of the wicked to the righteous? Never got that answer, by the way. We quoted that. Come to find out, we were the wicked. Don't laugh. If I gave you the list of ministries that were in this, y'all be like, no, not really. My mother-in-law, she had no problem spending the money she made. I'm still bitter. Anyway, I might need some inner healing here. but it was called IPIC. And when I got through IPIC, and the Lord says to me, he says, do you know people are going to come to you and they're going to have their own personal crash, but because you've understood the emotions and come out of it, and I'm going to restore you out of it, you have authority to help them do it quicker. I didn't ask for that ministry. I just wanted the money. Oh, you're ripping that greed thing out, right? Yeah, but listen, so here I am ashamed of this. And me and Susie are driving down the road, Papa Jack Taylor. Oh, we're driving down to see Papa Jack. And she says this dumb statement. Have you ever told Jack about IPIC? Nope, not going to either. And Mrs. Self-Righteous, you have to tell him. I am not telling him that. That's the most shameful thing I've ever been involved with. I don't want no one to know. And she's like, if you don't, I'll tell him. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, that's not fair. What if he helps you get into a place of ministry and then they find out and it hits the back door and he feels you betrayed? I'm like, listen, I am not talking to him about this. So we're at dinner. Susie Q's like, hey, did Charlie tell you about IPIC? I'm like, I'm going to kill you, woman. And then Jack goes, you were in IPIC? Yeah. He goes, man, I lost $80,000 in it. I'm like, thank God. But her what she was saying is, listen, no, Susie definitely wasn't looking for that. She's like, you both are idiots. Anyway, but what was she doing? She did not want me to blindside him later down in the relationship. So what I was trying to hide, my trial and my shame of that trial, I was trying to hide it, and God was actually trying to promote me. And it took my wife to promote me. The more difficult the battle, the sweeter the victory. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined into me and heard my cry. Most of us just don't know how to cry right. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Do you know what a pit is? It's a prophet in training. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul said it this way. There hath no temptation taken you, but such it is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able. What are you telling me, Jesus? Are you telling me that there's every room, there's a way of escape from every temptation? Yes, we just don't take it. We just don't take it. The problem is, some of your way of escape may be to go ask somebody that you don't like to help you. Huh? Who'd have thought? I walked into a church one time knowing that it had a prophetic word, knowing that I had the gift of healing, and who it was. But that person didn't like me. I said, hey, I believe I have the word of the Lord. Yeah. Okay. Take your old sick self out of here. What am I telling you? God will probably give what you need to somebody you don't like just to see if you have the ability to love those. See, you got to find out the body. There's many sick among you because you do not rightly discern the Lord's body. But will the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it? Paul also wrote, "Grace unto you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that you're with growth exceedingly," I probably typed that, "and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abundance." What did that mean? I don't know. So that we ourselves glory in you in the church of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Listen, when the church can't go through a trial, the world won't want it. Because when the world goes through a trial, they're looking for a church who understands how to handle it. Submissive will. "But let patience have her perfect work in you." Don't fight the trial. Embrace it. The only productive way out of a trial is through it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Number 4, a believing heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. When going through a trial, you must put your faith in God's wisdom and not in your own. When Stephanie was doing that song, and Lisa came up with God being the compass. Listen, if you understand that God is your Father and you're his child, he ordains good things for you. Your identity is messed up when you can't see that. Your compass is off. And I don't care what river, stream, tide, whatever comes against you, if you always find your dead center, which is God, he will get you to that destiny. I never forget, I was learning to fly. I was coming in, Sebastian had a strong crosswind. And so I set the plane at a pretty good, and I misjudged the wind, and that thing blew me over. We were on the big runway, and I'm about 2 feet over all the lights, and I'm in the lighting business. I'm about to take all the lights out of the runway. So I had to pull up and do a go-around. The guy in the tower goes, "Oh, you want to sell some new lights?" The guy in the tower knew it was me. And I had a crosswind, but you've got to set that plane against the wind to actually make just a correction at the time, or you're going to take out all the runway lights. God, you got to have your dew point right. A humble spirit. Let the brother of low degree rejoice that he is exalted. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Listen, that right there will kill your pride. What you're telling God with pride is, "I'm not going to embrace this trial that you allowed me to get into, or my sin or my nature or something wrong. You allowed it." God can stop all of that. He allows you to get in it so he can shape you, so he can mold you into the man or woman of God that you're called to be. Without a humble spirit, you'll never come through it. You know you're on the other side when it's no longer about you. Susie gave me that as I was just finishing this up yesterday. When your trial is no longer about you, and you're looking for somebody else in the beginning of a similar trial, so you can help them to shorten their distance, you'll realize it's a God-ordained trial.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.